What in the hell are you doing drinking a green beer? So why don't you just put that thing down before you hurt yourself? And come on over here to the radio, because it's time for
Caitlin and Gabby.
Another heartwarming episode of... Come over here, Caitlin.
That's disgusting.
Judge not, lest you be top selling.
I want to be just like you when I grow up.
Oh, I love you too, honey. So, come on over and we'll do some radio stuff, baby.
Daddy, you're drunk.
Ain't anybody gonna notice that? This is radio. You can't see me. I'm not gonna know that.
I can't understand.
She's coming right now and... Whoa.
Daddy. Tune in next week for another epic saga. Sorry.
Caitlin.
Daddy. Never mind.
Well, that was a rather disgusting ethnic stereotype, which just so happens to be the topic of the program tonight.
Welcome to the Inner Side Radio Program, Future Radioactive Mutant Zombie Americans. A very special shout-out to all my friends on the West Coast, sending out the one love before we build the fence to keep your shambling, brain-eating asses out of the great state of Texas. Don't lose hope. I've been in committee with some of Texas' finest outlaw motorcycle gangs and will be converting the entire methamphetamine industry of Oklahoma to the manufacture of potassium iodide for all your thyroid needs. Side effects may include chronic insomnia, acute horniness, and extreme paranoia. Don't ask your doctor about this one. We should have that on the black market in a couple of weeks. Just shuffle over to the North Gate to barter. Standard apocalyptic end-time economic rules will be in practice. We will only be accepting gold. So you might want to start melting that down right now. Sorry, no pun intended. I've been learning some astonishing things from white people on the media, the internets, and even the Book of Faces this week. White people are universally astonished that the Japanese people do not loot in times of emergency. And the sudden realization usually prompts their lips to convulse out the word Katrina in some primitive pink lizard brain jaw-jerk reaction, but it's not like they're speaking in code or anything. They just need to say something positive in times of great stress, like implying that only black people loot, and that always makes people feel better. Especially real America. So in the next 30 minutes on the doomsday clock, we'll be looking at why Japanese and white people don't loot. Is it just a black thing, like hip-hop and blingy, or is there something else going on? And why am I so pissed off right now? Stay tuned and maybe you'll get pissed off too. Trust me, it's contagious if you think about it. Join me now in a trip back through time to the year 2005. The failure of New Orleans levees, caused by an act of God, actually a corrupt and bungling agency of crooks and liars who think of themselves as God, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, with a little help from a nearly blown-out, minor Category 1 tail of a little hurricane we've come to know as Katrina.
I understand your frustration, and I'm doing everything that I can. Friends, this is a bad week for a funny show. I'm not much of a believer, friends. I don't believe in invisible monsters, because they told me not to believe in them. But this last weekend, I found myself praying nonetheless.
Bright and gay, it's so white.
So white,
dear friends. As the AP Associated Press was saying, white people find things and black people loot things in emergencies. Where's my background music? This whole thing was totally botched. I mean, such a slow response. The price of gas waited 2 days after the storm to jump to over $3 a gallon.
Now, wait a minute, Stang.
Now, that's ridiculously slow. What kind of a country is this?
Stang, you're thinking very, very
deeply. Hey, FEMA is opening a restaurant chain. You drive up to the window and place your order, and 72 hours later, it's ready.
People are dying. They don't have homes. They don't have jobs. The city of New Orleans will never be the same. Now get off your asses and let's do something. And let's fix the biggest goddamn crisis in the history of this country.
Does it gotta come down to this? In order to see things for what they are, for what it is. We still might not be free of this.
Now we've learned even more about white people. We heard it right from the Reverend Ivan Stang. In times of horrendous disaster, white people just find things laying around while all the black people are looting and running wild. When the second wave of folks from New Orleans reached the Astrodome after Katrina, the folks who had been standing around on roofs, loafing and loitering in the Superdome, I went down there with Dr. Stacy Davis, and we interviewed some of these terrible looter people. One in particular, Eddie Minsk, told tales of his own horrifying criminal acts. They had secured some boats and were picking up stranded families. They set up camp in the second story of a local school, then went about looting supplies from flooded stores that were not swept away. White people. Let's listen in.
That's right.
My name is Eddie Metz. Now, when the flood hit, the heavy rain and the wind stopped blowing, and we had some boats. We opened up a school that was not open, and we got the rowboats. You go to the house and knock on doors and get the old folks and the kids and brought them to the school. But then we realized we had to feed the people. So we made around the neighborhood with the boats, and we opened up the store. We brought the food to the school. In fact, we had so much food and drinks and a canoe, we could not get nobody in there. We brought it to the school. And then when the water got so high, we're in the area of the fifth wall, around St. Anne and Render, where the school was at, McDonald 31. Then we brought the people to Bayou St. John, where they have the Super Sunday. And that's where the helicopter, they had no land where the helicopter could sit down. And we had lines and hundreds of people in line to get on the helicopter to bring them to the causeway and I-10, where they bus the people to Houston. And we had people fighting to get on the buses, but eventually everybody got evacuated. And I'm glad to see a lot of people going out. And I hope everybody else get out. Some areas they had water chest high. They get the old folks. Then we realized,
no cops.
The cops couldn't get in the water.
They couldn't.
You know, the helicopters, and the Coast Guard. They realized we had to feed the people.
Let me ask you a question. If there'd have been buses to come and get y'all out before the hurricane hit, would you have gone?
We
would have left.
We would have left.
You just couldn't get out.
They would have had buses. Knowing the storm was coming to save everybody's lives, we all would have left. They could have came out before the storm got too bad.
You wouldn't have been worried about your house and your property?
No, I wouldn't worry about that. I'm worried about my life. I ain't worried about no immaterial stuff. My life is important.
Before the storm hit, the mayor, the governor, and all the other Ohio officials, they knew the storm was coming to New Orleans as a direct hit. 175 miles an hour wind, with a 32-mile span. They were supposed to be on their job to start evacuating people. New Orleans should have been half empty by Saturday. What's the problem? What they did? Who can we talk to? We people that don't have the voice, We have to get somebody to speak for us. Where was this? We were supposed to start evacuating Friday, but we didn't have nowhere to go. The Houston Astrodome, all this was after the fact. They accepted us, they're treating us nice.
If it keeps on raining, levee's going to break. If it keeps on raining, levee's going to break. And the water gonna come, I have no place to stay.
also from Texas. According to the Houston Chronicle, Tom DeLay stopped by the Astrodome today. Walked up to a few kids resting on a cot, likened their stay to being at camp, and said the following. Quote, "Now tell me the truth, boys. Is this kind of fun?" Unquote.
If it keeps on raining, levee's going to break. And all these people have no place to stay. Now look here, mama, what am I to do? Now look here, mama, what am I to do? I ain't got nobody to get my trouble to.
It would seem that stranding the primarily African-American working class of New Orleans on the roofs or torn-up football stadium to starve and scramble for a few sips of water for yourself or your kids or your grandparents in a sea of toxic waste for a week might suggest an underlying racism or something.
An excerpt from an article by James Picht on Thought.net. The absence of looting in Japan has taken many Western observers by surprise. In the wake of Hurricane Katrina, New Orleans experienced looting on a scale that astonished even American cynics. After last year's earthquake, the looting in Chile was serious enough to require military intervention. There was looting in Haiti after its earthquake last year and in England during the 2007 floods. So far, though, there's no looting reported from Japan. Is it really that surprising? The politeness, honesty, and orderly behavior of the Japanese are widely admired. If stories like that are credible in Japan and unthinkable in New York, Paris, or London, the question is why? There's a substantial internet chatter on the subject, and the chatter is disturbing. The answer most people seem to settle on is race. Many argue that Japanese homogeneity is a strength. Diversity is a weakness. The Japanese aren't looting because they're all one big happy culture, with none of the predation that occurs when people of different cultures look longingly at each other's possessions. You know, I kind of think it may actually depend on what your definition of looting is. When is it okay to take some food for somebody that's floating around in the water? We'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, that reminds me of a really funny story I heard about. Something called the Gretna roadblock at Katrina. That's where the Jefferson County Police and the National Guard set up an armed roadblock on the last bridge standing out of downtown New Orleans, trapping tens of thousands inside the Superdome and Convention Center in 100-degree heat with no food or water for a week with orders to shoot to kill. Don't let the sun set on you in Gretna, looter. Well, maybe they could have just let them pass through. Gee, I don't know. I wonder if the Japanese are doing that. Even Fox News Network got so caught up in the story, they forgot their political agenda. They reported the roadblock. This is Geraldo reporting from the Superdome on Sean Hannity's show.
None of the people are there. Look at this. Look at this little baby. There's so many little babies. Can I? Here. Tell me, how old is this baby?
He's 15 months.
15 months. Okay. Here's a. I got a baby. You know I have a baby, and you see, there are so many babies here. It's just not, I mean, it's not, you know, I it's not a question of objectivity, it's a question of reality. This is the, I don't know, man. I don't, let them walk out of here. Let them walk the hell out of here. Let them get on that interstate and walk out, walk someplace, walk to the Walmart on the other side of the river, walk to some other town, walk someplace where you can help them. All you got here is thousands and thousands of people who have desperate, desperate needs 6 days later. These people in the same clothes. Where do you think they're going to the bathroom? They don't wash their hands. They don't wash their face. These babies. What the hell?
All right, Geraldo, hang on right there. Chef, we go back to Shepard Smith, is also in New Orleans. Shepard.
They won't let them walk out of there because I'm standing right above that convention center. And what they've done is they've locked them in there. The government said, you go here and you'll get help. Or you go in that Superdome and you'll get help. And they didn't get help. They got locked in there and they watched people starving and they watched elderly people not get any medicine over and over every day. And you know what they're doing now? They have set up a checkpoint at the bottom of this bridge. This is the bridge that takes you from New Orleans over into Gretna, from Orleans Parish into Jefferson's Parish. It's the only way out. It's the connection to the rest of the world. And they've set up a checkpoint, and anyone who walks up out of that city now is turned around. You are not allowed to go to Gretna, Louisiana from New Orleans, Louisiana. Over there, there's hope. Over there, there's electricity. Over there, there's food and water. But you cannot go from there to there.
I think
the government will not allow you to do it. It's a fact.
I want to get some perspective here, because earlier today, the images were...
That is perspective.
Hang on a second.
That is all the perspective you need.
Actually, I think we could use a little bit more perspective, like the perspective of people being turned away with gunfire.
Gretna police shot at us and said us, get away, get away. You cannot come on the bridge.
That was kind of cool, Shep getting in Hannity's face. Anyway, Fox News scooping everybody, talking about the Gretna roadblock way before it came out on Pacifica, or, of course, CNN and Anderson. Anyway, what is looting anyway? I don't know. Can the window be open and the food floating out, you know, in seawater, and you pick it off of the ground? Is that looting? Is it not looting until you break the window? Or maybe it's not looting if the person who left the store and the food is spoiling doesn't consider it looting. Or maybe it's not looting when the society that values property above all else doesn't consider it looting. Or maybe the media doesn't consider it looting. Then it's not looting. Maybe it's just a perspective.
Somewhere around 5 o'clock in the morning, I jumped up out of bed. The ceiling started crashing down around me. I was riding that bed like a horse. I was so scared. I had never been that scared for that long. Next thing I know, the water is pouring through the ceiling. I was like, well...
Why not just evacuate?
Well, first of all, my mom is essential personnel, so she couldn't leave. I don't have a car, so I couldn't leave.
So you walk back to the hospital, and what do you find there?
Well, there's a lot of people roaming around with their kids, and we're sharing food, and we're having a good old time, just waiting for a chance to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Then the levees broke. Within a couple of hours, you weren't able to get back to the house. You know, it just kept rising. We thought, okay, now we're trapped in here, and we don't know how high this water's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So it finally covered the basement, so the generators went out, covered the first floor.
And when you say covered the first floor, was it actually coming inside the hospital building?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the heartbreaking thing was watching them turn people away who had waded through that water to get to the hospital for safe haven. It was amazing. It was heartbreaking.
How often did you see that?
You know, that happened over and over again. The person who sticks out most in my mind is a man who had his wife and his two children, and his baby and his daughter were so dehydrated. The people were yelling at him, you can't come in here, and we were yelling at him, man, leave the baby, man, leave the baby. And he was like, I can't leave my baby. We don't have a house. How am I going to find my baby if I leave him with you? I don't know where you're going to take him. And been in this water for 2 days, and, you know, it was devastating. I mean, we would, like, throw him water, and we'd try to throw him food. And
where'd they send him to?
I don't know. We don't know where he went.
So how long were you in the hospital? How many days? When did you get out?
2 days, and then we were transported to that corner. And what we heard is that we were going to be dropped off by boat to a corner, and the buses would pick us up, and we would be heading to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were told.
And then the buses come, and they take you where?
It wasn't buses. It was the police had to commandeer vehicles. They were asking people in the crowd if they knew how to drive trucks and buses. They were stealing them. The police had to steal vehicles.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. The police were stealing. The police were looting. We need more Japanese police.
But he says, wait, they're just taking any random, like, truck and hot wiring
buses.
It?
Yeah.
And then you go to where?
We go to the convention center.
What'd you see?
Inside?
Yeah.
A sewer, literally, because I had to use the bathroom. And I was like, where's the bathroom? So I went inside, the whole place was a bathroom. Stepping in feces, stepping in urine, the smell was overwhelming.
And where'd y'all sleep?
We slept on the sidewalk. And then what my mom wanted me to make sure I tell you, what they kept doing the whole time was tell us to line up for the buses that never came. It was like they were doing drills every 4 hours. You all have to line up for the bus. If you have to line up, you have to be in a straight line. We're talking about old people in wheelchairs and women with babies in lines, waiting for buses that you know goddamn well aren't coming, like they were playing with us, and we were left there without help, without food, without water, without sanitary conditions, as if it's perfectly all right for these animals to reside in a freaking sewer like rats, because there was nothing but black people back there. And then the story became, they left us here to die. They're going to kill us.
And is that what you believed?
I was almost convinced. Rumors started that the National Guard was going to kill us, and I almost halfway believed it.
And so people were saying, basically, they just brought us here, they're going to leave us here to die?
Yeah, that's what we thought. The police kept passing us by, and the National Guard kept passing us by with their guns pointed at us. And when you see a truck full of water, and people have been crying for water for a day and a night, and the water truck passes you by, we thought they were playing with us. And then in worst-case scenario, they wanted us to either kill each other or they were going to kill us.
So we keep hearing in the news about violence inside the convention center and people getting killed and women being raped. Did you know about any of that when you were there?
I didn't see anybody get raped. I did see people die. I saw one man die, and I saw a girl and her baby die. I didn't see anybody getting hurt.
And talk about, now, there were men just kind of like roaming with guns, packs of men, and just...
They
just
were securing the area. Criminals. These guys were criminals. They were, you know.
Yeah.
But somehow these guys got together, figured out who had guns, and decided they were going to make sure that no women were getting raped, because we did hear about the women getting raped in the Superdome, and, you know, that nobody was hurting babies and nobody was hurting these old people. They were the ones getting juice for the babies. They were the ones getting clothes for people who had walked through that water. They were the ones fanning the old people.
And so these were just guys from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
What else were they doing?
They started looting on St. Charles and Napoleon. There was a Rite Aid there, and they, you know, you would think that they would be stealing stuff that, you know, fun stuff or whatever, because it's a free city according to them, right? But they were taking juice for the baby, water, beer for the older people, food, raincoats so that they could all be seen, you know, by each other and stuff. And, you know, I thought it was pretty cool and very well organized.
And did you see this yourself? These guys,
yeah, I was right there.
And so basically they went off to this Rite Aid, they got the stuff, they brought it back and started distributing it?
Mm-hmm.
Like Robin Hood?
Yeah, exactly like Robin Hood. And that's why I got so mad, because they're calling these guys animals. These guys. That's what got to me. Because I know what they did.
Yeah.
You calling these people animals? You know, come on. And I saw what they did, and I was really touched by it, and I liked the way that they were organized about it and that they were thoughtful about it, because they had families they couldn't find, too.
Yeah.
You know, and that they would put themselves out like that on other people's behalf.
Yeah.
You know, I never had a real high opinion of thugs myself, but I tell you one thing, I'll never look at them the same way again.
Why didn't people just walk away? That's what I don't understand.
Couldn't we weren't just allowed. The police, people kept trying to go up the bridge so they could go to Algiers. The National Guard was up there with guns. They turned them back with guns, and the governor gave orders to shoot to kill. You couldn't get through them. They were not letting us out of there. We were trapped. I can't even express it.
Yeah.
The tears get close to my eyes, and I have this feeling in the pit of my stomach, like if I start crying, the sobs will kill me. I guess someday it'll calm down and I'll be able to just cry like a normal person, but I feel like if I started crying, I'd never stop.
Denise Moore, she's now in Baton Rouge. She's okay. She's just found a new job there.
Heaven keeps on raining. Heaven's going to break.
That was an excerpt from This American Life from back in 2005. More stuff about these terrible looter people in America. They're not like the Japanese at all. Although I'm wondering, when I see a bunch of people laying around in a devastated area who have starved to death or died of thirst, right across the street from a store that's full of food, I believe that there's no looting in there or anywhere else. So what is looting, anyway? It seems to depend on what color the people are and whether they're favored. You know, one of the things that our little corporate overlords and their pet media like to tell us is that when society breaks down, or shall we say the authorities break down, the authorities are no longer able to keep order in the way that they are trained to keep order, and there's not people telling you what to do, where to go, how to act in these emergencies and disasters, the people will behave like animals. Turns out that no rapes were proven during Katrina. No helicopters were shot at it all. That was completely made up. Crime was down. Well, if you could crime between people. Seems like when the authorities fail, the people seem to stick up for each other better than the government would. At least a government that just leaves you to starve or die of thirst. My name's Scooter, and this has been the Inner Side Radio Program, and we're talking about looting tonight. Something to think about. This is Cyber Zen Sound Engine. Special thanks to This American Life, and of course, my good friend Ira Glass. We hang out on the weekends. Stop the music. It says here on Sullivan's blog at The Atlantic, to be fair, you have to somewhat look for stories about looting and crime because it's a myth that the Japanese media buys into. The terrible Hanshin earthquake in 1995 was also covered as if everyone acted calmly and there were no crimes. But in fact, Historica data reveals that numerous thefts and rape incidents occurred as bad people and gangs took advantage of the situation. Holy crap. My mistake. Looks like I did this whole show for nothing. Damn popular media mythology got me again. Oh well.
Never mind.